Our Bible reading today comes from John 13:31-35. When he, Judas Iscariot, was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another."
How would you feel you've gone shopping in the Stockland Plaza in Council? It's rather crowded, and you take good care not to get lost and not to forget the particular items you'd come to purchase. As you walk along, you see one or two of your friends, say hello, and stop for a chat before walking on. Just then, you see someone else with a familiar face. That lady over there. Now, who is she? I've seen that face before. Where was it? No, I just can't place her. Seems a nice person, a very nice person. And the couple she is with, the three of them, stir the memory, but at the moment I just can't place them. Who are they? Where have I come across them? That evening, you turn on the TV for the news. It was revealed tonight that the Queen and her son, Prince Charles, and his wife, Camilla, have had a private holiday in North Queensland. The Queen and Camilla reportedly enjoyed a quiet walk together in Kaito wetlands, while the Prince caught a sizable barramundi at Taylor's Beach. He said it was the most outstanding fishing trip he had been on anywhere. He hoped to return sometime in the future. The Queen, together with Charles and Camilla, flew out of the Townsville Airport for an undisclosed destination late this afternoon. Well, how would you feel? Of course, I should have recognized them, but they're in casual clothes, no diamond tiara, no bodyguard that I could see. In fact, nothing to mark them out from other shoppers. And I really wasn't expecting them. What would it be like to meet God? Scary? Totally awesome. Adam and Eve met with God. He walked with them in the Garden of Eden. They felt no awkwardness about it at all. It was just natural to listen, to talk. They could eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden, except one particular tree in the middle of the garden. They were not to eat its fruit. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Nowhere are we told just what that tree was. Now, I don't know. Our family sometimes has got into a discussion about this, what that tree might have been. But no, it's not. It can't be an avocado tree, which is one of the ones that was suggested, because that tree is not accessible to any of us. All that we know about that tree is that it was a test whether Adam and Eve were going to trust God. What we notice is that their relationship with God was comfortable and relaxed while they were trusting God. But then when they disobeyed and ate the forbidden fruit, they were ashamed and tried hard to hide themselves from God. Meeting with God had become a very different matter after they had disobeyed. The prophet Isaiah describes his vision with God in the temple, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him was seraphim. Now, you know, they're one of the kinds of angels. Each with six wings. With two they covered their faces. With two they covered their feet. With two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Now the royal anthem, "God Save the Queen," describes her as gracious, noble, and glorious. She is Her Royal Highness. And if we had the opportunity to do so, the proper way to address her is "Your Majesty." We are not entering into the Republican issue here. Some of those on both sides of that debate are honourable members of Parliament, even though their speech and behaviour sometimes tempt us to question the title. Have you ever thought that? Now, the Bible tells us plainly that we are to honour those who govern us. Better remember that when you're voting next Saturday. They have a status that is to be respected. True, they are human beings like us. At times their humanity is all too evident. Sometimes their behavior is definitely to be avoided. Yet they have a function and status in our society that is to be honoured. Now, of course, glory and majesty are God's qualities. The Queen and the MPs are essentially human and have honour, glory and majesty bestowed on them by other human beings. However, God is essentially glorious and majestic. He is almighty, the all-powerful creator of the whole universe. He is always present everywhere and knows everything. He is perfection, always right. In fact, he is the standard of rightness by whom all others will be measured. He is the judge before whom all of us must give account of how we live. He is also pure love. In fact, he is the source of genuine love. As human beings may from time to time become glorious. From time to time we may credit athletes or sporting teams that way. But God is glorious. So when Jesus became a man, he had to lay aside his glory. He had to humble himself. There was just that once when Peter, James, and John climbed up with Jesus to the summit of what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. There they saw Jesus in dazzling glory, an experience that they could never forget. In the first chapter of his gospel, John writes, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." Peter writes in his second letter, "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." It is easy to recognize the glory of Jesus when his face shines like the sun and his clothes are as white as the light. When Moses and Elijah appear and are talking with him. Oh, just by the way, what was the subject of this glorious conversation? What was the subject of that glorious conversation with Moses and Elijah? We're told they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Now that's in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. And verse 31. Now the New Testament is in fact written in Greek and translated into English for us. It's just curious. Spoke about his departure. The word that is used in Greek is Exodus. Spoke about his exodus. It's a bit curious, isn't it? That he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Well, it wasn't going to be tomorrow, but it was why he had come to earth. And now in today's passage, Judas Iscariot has just left them and is on his way to the Jewish authorities to betray Jesus for cash. Jesus knows Judas's plan. But listen to what Jesus is saying at this time. "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer." So Jesus knows what's about to happen to him. And in the death of Jesus, he's going to be glorified. A couple of chapters later, Jesus has been telling his friends how they'll all be scattered because of him, leaving him all alone. But when they are united with him again, they will face suffering. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Then Jesus looks up to heaven and says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. How's the Father going to glorify him? He's going to die on a cross. And 3 days later, be raised again. The work of showing the Father's glory would be completed through the cross and the resurrection. Now in today's reading, we hear Jesus going on to say, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men, that's all people, will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Practical, sacrificial love was at the heart of how Jesus showed the Father's glory on earth, right up to his death on the cross. He calls us to that too. Frightened by a loud clap of thunder in the middle of the night, a little child cried out. Her father came and picked her up. Holding her securely in his arms, he explained that she didn't need to be afraid. God would take care of her because he loved her greatly. I know God will take care of me and love me, she replied. But right now, Daddy, I want someone with a skin on to love me. I want someone with a skin on to love me. Jesus laid aside all the heavenly appearance of his glory and showed his glory through caring love. He was God's love with a skin on. Last Sunday was Mother's Day. How thankful we are for mothers and fathers too, and their practical, loving care. Too often we have failed to see God's glory revealed in the work of caring for children and home. Yet God is calling mothers and fathers, indeed, he is calling all of us to be his love with a skin on. Greg is challenging us to be an evangelism congregation. I trust that you've all noticed that that has been his theme. That means we need to learn the core elements of the gospel and how to share it in our community. But most of all, our community needs to see the gospel in our lives day by day. The glory of Jesus is going to be revealed in Halifax and in Ingham through our love. Amen.